Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. And brethren, we're going to pick up verse 15. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 15. The Bible says, and by the way, brethren, we're going to, in these passages, Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17, we're going to look at one aspect of them this week, and Lord willing, another aspect of them next week. Verse 15, the Bible says this: if a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Thank you, Father, for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us this morning, Father. We pray in the precious and blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Interesting situation. If a man have two wives. Wow. That's interesting for sure. And already there would be the potential for trouble. That's just true. Man has two wives, there is potential for trouble, and that's just a given. I could try to be humorous here and say there's trouble enough for one, but look here. I can't say that. I can't. No trouble. I may cause some trouble for her, but no trouble for me. But I tell you, with two, there'd definitely be potential for trouble. Now, brethren, I'll explain something this morning. Pay attention. You got to pay attention. In Scripture, God often allowed more than one wife, but this can pave the way for much trouble, and it was not the original setup. That was not the setup that God established from the beginning. From the beginning, God made one man and one woman. It's a shame I need to say this, but I have to say it where we're at today. He didn't make a man and a man. He didn't make a woman and a woman. He made a man and he made a woman, and that's all there is to it. Amen. And you know that. And your common sense tells you that. You know that that's so. You know that that's right. And anything different than that is abomination in the sight of God and against nature. Now, you know that. But if you're not careful, you'll spend so much time in this world letting them bombard you with all that they've got. You're liable to let yourself be, well, I mean, you know, maybe. No. No. I'll remind you once and again, in the Old Testament, for the children of Israel, God set them up to be a holy people. And God never had you put to death for something that you couldn't help. If you were born with a crooked back or something superfluous like an extra digit or something, if you were born with something, that meant that you couldn't serve with certain aspects of the priesthood. But God never had you put to death, never, for something you were born with and couldn't help. If you were an adulterer, you were put to death. Because that's a sinful choice you made. If you're a murderer, you were put to death because that's a sinful choice you made. Listen, if you were a witch, the penalty was death because that's a sinful choice you made. And if you were a sodomite, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, in the Old Testament, you were put to death because that's a sinful choice you made. Now, brother, that's just all there is to it. And somebody says, well, people have different leanings. Come on, folks. Some folks are more predisposed to becoming an alcoholic. Don't make it okay. Right. But some folks just like to steal. Don't make it all right. Brother, what God has established and set up is sin no matter what man may say. Amen. And God set up in the beginning one man and one woman. Take your Bible. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now, I'm going to tell you something. So, Brother Doss, but what do you person do? I know we live in a perverse society. And there are some folks out there that have been molested and messed with. And that'll mess with your head. You understand me? There's some folks out there, they've been messed with, and I'll tell you what, we're such a state today, it ain't no question about today who's been messed with, but who ain't been messed with. That's about the way it is. And when that happens to somebody, it boogers up the wires, bud. It messes with their thinking. The devil gets in that thing. But it still does not excuse and allow for someone to yield to something that's wrong. Do you understand me? It's wrong. It's wrong in the sight of God. People go through all kinds of things that make them susceptible to things or make them want to choose things. Wrong is wrong and right is right. Let me tell you something. A lot of folks get exposed at young ages to pornography. Son, that stuff will mess you up. You understand me? That'll mess you up. And you need the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God to cleanse your mind and free you. Because them, listen, those hooks will get in you and they'll mess with you and they'll tear your life up. But you know what's right? Your youngins are liable to get a hold in it. Get a hold of that stuff and it'll mess them up. It'll cause all kind of confusion in their head. You understand me? And listen, there may be somebody here listening on recording right here this morning, and you got exposed to some pornography, and the devil used that, and the hounds of hell got in your head with all kind of things and making you wonder this and making you wonder that. But listen, you don't have to make those choices.
Right.
And Jesus Christ can set you free from the burden and the chains of sin.
Amen.
And it is sin. God set up from the beginning a man and a woman. Take your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet." That word meet in the dictionary means fitting or proper for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Let me tell you something. You have a pet, that's fine. But that pet ain't your husband, that pet ain't your wife, and that pet ain't your youngin. Call that thing your baby. You got a dog, treat that dog right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Treat the dog right. Don't abuse the dog. Don't call it your baby. Look here. I understand you can get attached. Why, that man in the Bible, that sheep, he got attached to it. Onto him, it was just about like a dog. But he didn't literally refer to it as, "That's my baby, that's my daughter, that's my..." You gotta be careful about that stuff. You get attached to a pet, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I understand that, of course. But be careful. There's some sick individuals out there today that are putting animals on the line. And I want to tell you something, brethren. Take it for what you will. Take it for what you will. But I tell you what. I tell you what. My son was a firefighter before he went to work for the railroad. Casey's a fireman. I tell you. That boy willing to put his life on the line to save somebody's life, not somebody's dog. I think it's a rotten shame today that we got firefighters that have to go into situations and put their life on the line in a burning building because somebody's... I hate it. I ain't hard-hearted. Don't you look me crossways. Don't you say anything about me being hard-hearted. I ain't a bit. I understand that. But you're going to tell me that boy right there, that young right there, listen to him have to go in a burning building, put his life on the line? What? I can understand for somebody that's got a never-dying soul.
Right.
A never-dying soul. But an animal? Come on now. I understand. Care for him, that's fine. I tell you something, brethren. We're in a mess. That stuff don't start. People, they'll see, don't stop there. People start looking at his animals almost equivalent. That's some sick stuff goes on out there. Now look here. Why, in that Bible, God warned about bestiality, and you watch it, that thing's moving that way again today, bud. Just moving that way again today. Lord help us, Lord help us. Genesis 2, though, look at verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. None of the animals fit the bill. That wasn't what God set up. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife were not ashamed. Well, they had no reason to be ashamed. First of all, it was a state of innocence. But another reason they had to be ashamed is they was married. They weren't shacking up. They weren't living together. They were married. They were in a right relationship before God. Had nothing to be ashamed of. Amen. Now, look here. So God set up marriage. Man and a woman. One man, one woman. That was the original setup. But you know what? The Bible shows that at times men have had more than one wife. And you say, well, Brother Doss, listen, that's illegal. Well, it ain't in every country. In Israel, it wasn't illegal. It wasn't what God set up, but God allowed it at times. And in Papua New Guinea, where Brother Niels is at, it goes on today. And did you know something? Well, you know Brother, what's that big old fellow's name? Love him. He was a blessing. His name, not Brother Cumulus, Brother Matthew, Brother Tomatai. That fellow's got two wives over there. He's a saved man. Both his wives are saved. Ain't that a wild one? Ain't that a wild, that's a wild hair thing there, bud. There you are, saved and got two saved wives and keeps one in one town and one in the other, which is smart. And what happened was, and think about it, what's a man supposed to do? Now he got saved, what's he supposed to do? Huh? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe, this old dirty dish, you dirty dish, you're out. Huh? He can't do that. He's got to take care of both his wives. He can't pastor. And he knows that. But he's got to take care of his wives. You see what happened was Brother Tomatai was lost. He was a lost man. And he was married. Right? And he went and it had two wives, you know. Well, you know, he got saved. And then his wife got saved. And then they got burdened for the other wife. And she got saved. And I told you this before. Sister Gwendy asked them two ladies. Asked them both. Sister Gwendy said, don't y'all ever get jealous? And they laughed and said, oh, yeah. Yes, we get upset. Because, you know, a lot of things, he's spending more time with her or he's buying her more. And she said, what do you do? They said, we get immediately in touch with each other and make sure we take care of it. We immediately get in touch with each other and get it right. Wow. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So they keep harmony. And it don't help that one's one place, one's the other. I mean, that's for sure. You know, so what was a man supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to treat his wives right and keep them apart if he can. Now listen, you had a situation here where the Lord said, if a man has two wives, one beloved and another hated. Now, I want to explain something to you. Listen to me. Two wives, one beloved, another hated. Now this hatred is a matter of degree of delight and pleasure more so than of abhorrence. Did you hear me? This is a matter of degree of delight, not of abhorrence. In other words, it ain't like he's got one, oh, sweetie, get out of here, you. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. The hatred being spoken of is a degree of pleasure. He has more pleasure and delight in one other than the other. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible. Go to Genesis 29. Genesis 29, verse 30. By the way, brethren, it was a different kind of day too. Because listen, in the Bible, in the times of the Old Testament, a man purchased his wife. He bought her. Paid a price for her. Purchased her. Just like Christ purchased the church by his blood. He bought us. But Genesis 29, look at verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 of the years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, you see, it was just a, listen, Jacob, he hated her in the sense of he loved Leah, he loved Rachel more. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So it's not like that Jacob looked at Rachel and said, I can't stand you. You disgust me. Goodness. He had 6 young'uns by her. She produced by herself half the nation of Israel, if you will. I mean, he had a daughter by her. It's not like he just despised her. In fact, the picture we get is he really came to realize she's the best one for me. She was the best one for me. But at starting out, he loved Rachel. He delighted more in Rachel than he did in Leah. Take your Bible. Give another example. Go to 1 Samuel 1. That man worked 14 years for them women. You know the story. You know what happened. He saw Rachel, And he said, that's a good looking gal. And he told her daddy, which was his uncle, I'll work 7 years for her. And that's what his uncle said. And he said, that'll work. I'll do it. So 7 years he worked for. And don't you know, he was ready for his wedding night. Can't you say, I got calluses on my hands. I've been sunburned. I've been watching these sheep. I've been 7 years. I get my bride tonight. And he goes in there. And he go, you know, and I, you know, he'd never been with her before, of course. And in the morning, who are you? And daddy had slipped one on him and put in Leah instead of Rachel. Oh, my. As you can imagine, he was hot. Stick a fork in him, he was done. He was hot, bud. And he went to Laban and said, you've deceived me. Which he's forgetting what he did to his own daddy a couple years earlier. But, so you deceived me. He goes, Jake, you can't do that way in our country. That's just not how it's done. You know, that I can't give the younger before the elder. But I tell you what I do. I got a deal. If you'll work 7 more years, if you'll agree to, then just fulfill Leah's week and I'll go ahead and give you Rachel, but you got to work 7 more years. All right. So he fulfilled Leah's wedding week. Then he got Rachel, but he was tied into 7 more years. 14 years for these gals. He worked. I tell you, he must have really thought something of that Rachel to do that. But the best thing he got out of the thing was Leah. But watch this, another example. Look at 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And look here at verse number 4. 1 Samuel 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says this. But when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, that was his other wife, he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, notice something, brother. The Bible mentions if a man had two wives, one beloved and one hated, that he was not allowed to take the son. If the firstborn son he had was from the wife he didn't care too much about or as much as the other one, that boy still got the birthright because he's the firstborn. He couldn't take and say, well, this is the wife I delight in. I'll make her son the firstborn. He couldn't do it. Now, God pleads the case. Brethren, if we will trust God and not try to take and murmur, complain, and God stood up for both of these women. God stood up for Leah. God saw that she, you know what he did? God closed up Rachel's womb. Closed up Rachel's womb. She could have no children. And Leah just kept putting them out. And we see how God stood up for that thing. But listen. Listen to me real good. Please listen this morning. In fact, I really would like for anybody who's not here of our church, member of our church, to get this. Because we're going to touch on some things that are very important. Sometimes what we hate can be what is best for us. Leah was the best thing for him. Rachel, she's pretty. Bible says she was well favored. She was beautiful. But she just was like a thorn to his side. She was a drag on him. She brought wrong into his home. She brought idols into his home. And she was just on him. Brethren, sometimes what we hate can be what's best for us. We can grow to love that which we hate if we will do right by God. Let me show you. Go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, look at verse 29. Jacob's a dying. And look what he says in Genesis 49, 29. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burying place. Look at verse 31. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. Now, Abraham had Hagar and Abraham had Keturah. But who's the woman he's buried with? Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried who? Leah. Leah was the one that was honored being buried with him as his wife and honored there in that grave with Abraham and his wife and with Isaac and his wife. Leah is the one that got that honor. So how did it seem that Jacob came to appreciate Leah? How did it seem that he came to appreciate her? By faithfully doing his duty to her and by her being steady and faithful. One thing about Jacob, he always did his duty by her. He always did his duty by her. And she was steady and faithful. She was just always there. She was just always there, always there, always there. But something built up. Take your Bible, go to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Verse 32. Genesis 29, verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore will my husband love me. Don't talk about break your heart. Don't talk about break your heart. Man, that gal, she knew. She knew Jacob had worked all those 7 years for her sister, not for her. She knew it. But her daddy was like, it's almost like you almost get the sense of Laban being like, this is my way to get her off my hand. Nobody's gonna marry her. Nobody's gonna marry her. But, you know, the firstborn's supposed to be married. That's not in our country how we do it. This is my chance. I'll slip her in. How would that make you feel? Knowing that your husband has worked 7 years for your sister, and it's not you he wants, and your daddy's just sneaking you in on him. And then in the morning, you're hoping, no doubt, maybe he'll be pleased with me. And he's like, what? No doubt he's running out of the tent. What have you done to me? Imagine her hearing that. Imagine how that girl felt. Through no fault of her own. Listen to me. Just put yourself in that position a minute. Just imagine how it felt. No doubt probably wondering, would anybody marry her? You would imagine possibly so. Because she wasn't like her sister. And then I bet she was hoping, maybe in the morning, maybe he'll be happy that I'm what he got. He wasn't. And then he goes, and instead of just accepting things, he says, I imagine he wasn't very pleasant next couple of days. And now she realizes he's going to work 7 more years to get my sister. And she only had 1 week with him just to herself. But you know what she does? She just faithfully hangs in there and does right. Faithfully hangs in there and does right. She has that first child. You know, she's like, maybe he'll love me now. Maybe he'll, you know. And just hoping, you know. Just hoping. It doesn't happen yet. Go to verse 34. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. Because I've borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. She's like, I've given him 3 sons. Boy, I'm increasing him. You know, man, he's got a heritage here. Maybe he'll be joined to me. Maybe he'll really want to be. Not really yet. Go down to chapter 30 and verse 20. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me. Because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun. If you read on, you'll see that it seemed like those women had their own tents. But obviously Jacob spent more time with Rachel than he did with Leah. He would come by. He would do his duty by her. Because a Jewish man owed his wife food, clothing, and the marriage bedroom. And he would fulfill his duty to her. But she just wanted him to care about her. She just wanted it to be from the heart. And he just wasn't there, and it wasn't there, and it wasn't there. And you know what she did? She kept going along and doing right. You understand? She just kept going along and doing right. And somewhere in this thing, I really believe with all my heart, he starts seeing something. He starts, because you know what I think he starts realizing? Rachel, for all her beauty, she's just nagging him, as we're going to see. She brings idols into his house. And she brought possibly a curse could have been brought. And she dies. But there's faithful, steady Leah still there. And she gets the honor of being buried there with the patriarchs and their wives. But I want to ask you something this morning. And my dear sisters, now first of all, you're not going to be able to apply anything in this message to your life unless you're born again. Unless you're saved, if you try to do what I'm talking about this morning, you're going to fail miserably. You've got to have the Lord abiding within you. That's the first and most important thing, is that you know Jesus Christ personally, that He has washed your sins away, that He lives in you, that you know Him and He knows you. If that's the case, sisters, I want to ask you something this morning. Does your husband have two wives? Does your husband have two wives? One that he delights in and another that drives him up the wall. One that gladdens him and another that grieves him. If it be so, what will you do about it? Are you Rachel or are you Leah? I certainly cannot answer this for you. But I know what I'm supposed to preach this morning. Does your husband have two wives? One that he delights in, another that just drives him up the wall to distraction. One that is a joy to him, gladdens him, and another that grieves him. What is the case? And what will you do about it? Are you Rachel or are you Leah? Now listen to me. Jacob was frustrated after that wedding night. Jacob was frustrated, was he not? Why? Because he didn't get what he thought he was going to get. How many times have I seen it in marriages that the whole problem is each party thought they were getting something different than what they got? Are you frustrated because you have not gotten in marriage what you thought you were getting? She doesn't meet your expectations physically. He doesn't meet yours spiritually, or vice versa. Can I tell you what you may have done? You did not marry that person. You married an image in your mind. Listen to me. Now, I want every person in this church to get a copy of this. There's a lot of people all over the place that need to hear this kind of thing. Because they didn't marry that person. They married an image in their mind of what they thought that person was going to ultimately be or what they could make them be. You didn't marry that person. You married an image in your mind. And you're going to have to do something about it. Or you're going to have a hellacious mess on your hands until Jesus Christ calls you home. Does your husband have two wives? And guys, we can make an application to ourselves also. You thought in your mind a certain view physically, and that ain't what happened. Or else maybe it was to start with, but age, babies, and other things. You married an image, not that person. Or you thought he was going to be a spiritual powerhouse. You had this thing of spiritual, what he was going to be, this thing, and it's not measuring up to your standards. And so, you know what? Now it's really grieving and bothering you. Again, you didn't marry them. You married an image in your mind. I want you to do something. You don't have to do it right now, but I want you to sometime do this. Look beside you. There they are. They are who they are. You understand? Look beside you. They are who they are. And quit trying to make them something that you can't make them to be, or that only God can do, or perhaps that just can't be done physically. There they are. There it is. It's who they are. Take them for who they are. Love them for who they are, not for what you wish they were or what you think you can make them to be. This right now could be the turning point of marriages, whether here or listening on record. But if not heeded, you'll go through the same, just wrestles and wrangles and frustrations and all things till day you pull out of his life. Let me tell you something. I get phone calls. I get situations. I'm not talking about here. It's all over the place. Because people have not made a person, they made an image of what they hoped it would be. Too many men made because of images in their mind by ungodly things. They thought that under all her clothing, she was something she ain't. Lord in heaven, help us. Our women thought that he's going to be, and you know what? It's like, I've been dealt the wrong deal. Stop. What? That's your own fault. Now listen, you listen to me good. What is it? What'd you marry? Look at that person beside you. Forget it. If you got a certain way that you think they were going to look or be, forget it. It ain't happening. Let me tell you something. Spiritually, you ain't going to make them something. Listen, only God can. So why don't you love that person for who and what they are? Love them. Take them for who and what they are. And let God work in your life and make something good. Now you can heed this, and God can do something for you. Or you cannot. And you shall have mess after mess on your hands. You know what Rachel did? She rode Jacob. She rode Jacob. You know what she did? Take your Bible, go back to Genesis, around 29, I believe. Yeah, go back to Genesis 29. Watch this thing. Genesis 29. Well, Genesis 30, watch this thing. Genesis 30, look here at verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I God's dead who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? You know what she's doing? She's riding him. She's blaming him for something he couldn't do nothing about. When the problem was with her. Now, don't get me wrong. Jacob is, in a way, causing it because he's favoring one. But what I'm saying is, there ain't nothing wrong with that man's seed. Ain't nothing wrong with what he's putting out. Because Leah keeps getting pregnant. Ain't nothing wrong with his seed. Something going on with her womb. Now, listen to me. The problem was her body, not his. His seed was good. Ladies, you may be more the problem than you realize. I run into too many women through the years. They think the husband is all the problem, all the problem, all the problem, all the problem, all the problem. You may be more the problem than what you realize. You understand that? Give me children after that. What do you want me to do? I ain't the problem. Leah's having babies. He's not the problem. Are you Rachel or are you Leah? Are you schizophrenic? Now, which one are you? Are you getting on him? Maybe the problem's with you. Maybe you're more the problem than what you realize. Maybe you think everything's all together with you, and it's not. And you need to see that. Now, granted, I will say this. Jacob, in a sense, was the problem in the sense of the way to fix this thing was just treat Leah right. Just treat Leah right. Do her better, right? So in one sense, we know that, listen, he favored and had slighted her. So, yeah, that's what he could have. But ain't it funny? The way to fix the thing was giving Rachel a little bit less attention and giving Leah some more. But she jumped his case. She jumped all over him. She crawled him about that thing. And it's like, whoa, gal. Ain't nothing wrong with my seed. Leah spitting them out. Your body. Now, granted, like I said, Jacob was part of the problem the way he did. But she ain't facing up to some things herself. And sisters, let me tell you something. You didn't marry the big bad wolf. Look at your own self too. Guys, I ain't letting you off a hook. I ain't letting myself off a hook. God help us all. Jacob had a part of this, and guys, we have a part too. But ladies, I'm telling you, this morning, where we're looking at things, and I've seen it too often, it's always he. And guys, we're the ones got to give account. We got to stand before God, ain't no doubt. But you could be more the problem than what you realize. Well, what else? What else here? Notice something. Rachel brought unrest to the home by her contentious attitude toward Leah. You know what Leah's doing? All Leah's doing is just being Leah. She's being Leah. Just being Leah. Rachel's causing this. So Rachel says, okay, go get my maid. You can have her. Well, finally Leah gets frustrated and she's like, okay, you do the same thing with mine too. Take my maid. So they got four in that. Goodness, now the poor man's got four. He's got, it's like a ram servicing a bunch of ewes, man. This man's got, he got a situation on him, all right? You know what else she did? Rachel brought unclean spiritual influence into the home by the idols she brought in. She brought into the home unclean spiritual influences. Ladies, are you bringing in wrong spiritual influences into the home by substances, alternative health practices? Be careful. I believe a lot of unrest that goes on in homes today is because the Bible speaks of silly women. I believe today what's happening is many women are getting involved in suspect health practices that ultimately are bringing in unclean spiritual influences into the home, and it causes unrest, it causes contention, it causes strife. There's a spirit to these kind of things. That's what Rachel did. That's what Rachel did. Leah just quietly, though hurting, plugged faithfully along. She's the one who had the honor of being buried in the cave with the other fathers and their wives. Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? One of them that was listed in the Bible is Ruth. I tell you that. The Bible says Ruth was. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Can I say this? He shall have no need of spoil. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She'll do him right. Listen, it is no excuse. It is no excuse for a man to indulge ever in pornography, in lust, or in extramarital relations. But let me tell you something. A woman that will not do her husband right in intimate relations, that is wickedness, and it is setting a man up for temptation that is wrong. Do you understand me? Listen, instead of this woman's husband having to go out to battle and find another wife, like what do we read about Deuteronomy, the captives of battle and all like that? He trusts in her. He goes, what? What I got at the house? No, sir. Do you understand? Ladies, the spirit of this world has infected even professing Christian women more than they realize. This thing about me, my rights and me. You better be careful. And you better take care of that man. And understand your role and your place. Well, he just gets off scot. Hush! No, he doesn't. That man don't do right. God will clean his clock in a minute. And he's the one that's got to give an account. But her husband safely trusts in her. He's like, I got a woman waiting on me. She looks after daddy in all kind of ways. Amen. Use the marriage bedroom as a weapon or the way to get back. That is wickedness. It's wickedness. Verse 12, she will do him good, not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. She strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's not biting people's head off. She's not. She's got kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. My husband don't praise me. Have you given him anything to praise you about? I don't know. Maybe you are. But if you're doing right, God sees it. It's okay. You know, I found out that when somebody's really right, they don't worry about getting acknowledged. It's usually those who aren't doing right that are just crying out for some acknowledgement a lot of times. If you're doing right, your heart's where it ought to be anyway. But you need to ask yourself, are you giving him anything to praise you about? Listen, does your husband have two wives? One hated, one beloved. One that grieves, one that gladdens. Isn't it time he had just one? Isn't it time he had just one? Then which one will it be? Rachel or Leah? Father, I want to thank you. Father, Lord, my Father in heaven, I pray that every lady, sister that would hear this here or on the recording would realize, Lord, that if everything's fine, there's nothing to set the jaw about or be upset about. But Father, if it rings home and it rings true, then something needs to be done. Father, I pray you help us, dear God, help every man here to, Lord, not overlook a Leah and want a Rachel. Father, help us to be appreciative. Father, I pray you'll help every couple to sometime, Lord, today, tomorrow, sometime, each man and each woman to look at the person they married and realize that's who they are. And quit the notions, Father, of trying to play your spirit or trying to play their conscience and trying to make them into something after their own fashion or idea. But take the individual for who they are. And instead of worrying about trying to change them, this Lord, trying to be the best person, husband and wife, that they can be. Lord, help us to look at the one we married and say, Lord, that's who they are. Thank you for them. And Lord, help us to love them for who they are. And not for what we would wish them to be or think we can make them into being. And Father, help these young folks, dear God, to not make the mistake of marrying an image, but to marry a person. Father, please, Almighty God, help us to lay this to our hearts and help us, Father, to examine. Lord, it shouldn't bother us unless you convict us of things, then we just store it for future reference. But, oh, Father, if there be an element of where it rings true in our lives, help us to receive it and acknowledge it and take measures accordingly. But, Father, I pray you'd help anybody here, Lord, who's not born again to realize that unless you dwell within them, they can never be what they ought to be as a husband or as a wife. Lord, that they can never be anything they ought to be unless they first come to know you, Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please bring this home to us. Help us to chew upon it, apply it as we need it. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.